how many would you declare in agreement with that song that you love the Lord? Oh, yeah. God is so good to us. Thank you so much, band, praise team, media ministry, greeters at the door, deacons, ushers, each and every one of you, as together we celebrate God's goodness in our lives. And Christ said that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's why it's so important that we continue in this series, Jesus On, because Jesus' perspective is what matters most in our lives. Would you agree with that? All right, well then turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, where our message for the morning is going to be coming from. If you've been with us in this series, we've covered Jesus on life. We looked at Jesus on anxiety. Last Sunday, we looked at Jesus on marriage. And this Sunday, this is going to be a very personal installment, as I believe that this particular perspective of Christ touches each and every one of our lives. Meet me in that sixth chapter of Matthew, and our reading will begin at the 19th verse. Christ says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is this darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Boy, they got quiet real fast. We were singing, "I love you, Lord," but when I got to that last verse. But this is the teaching of our Savior, of our Lord, as he teaches us how to live with the bountiful resources we receive from him. He cautions us that we cannot serve God and money. Go ahead and turn to the person next to you. Just tell him, you know you're going to talk about money. We're talking about Jesus on money. And if you're a studier of the ministry of Christ, you know that our Lord had a lot to say about how we use our money, our resources, because he wants us to enjoy them, right? But we can enjoy what God has given us best when we trust him most. So would you bow in prayer with me? Father, we are humbled by your presence. We thank you so much that you blessed us to gather once more in this sacred space where we're able to declare praises unto you. Now I ask that you would stretch us, that you would grow us by your word, that we would learn to trust you even more and love you deeper and grow in our relationship with you and with others, that our very lives and all that we do and all that we say will bring glory to your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Charles A. Lindbergh was a pilot and also a military officer who was the first to really accomplish a solo transatlantic flight from New York to Paris. Now, this flight took him over 3,500 so miles, took him 33.5 hours to make that flight, that historic flight. And when he arrived safely in Paris, the first thing he did was to name his aircraft. And Kim, he named his aircraft the Spirit of St. Louis. It's interesting, he didn't name his aircraft after himself, but rather he named his aircraft to give credit to all those who had invested, all those who had given, all those who had blessed him to be able to make this feat and this accomplishment. He said it's the spirit of St. Louis to represent all the people who are willing to give to him, to them, so he gave them credit. Who do you give credit to for all that you've been able to accomplish in this life? Who do you give credit to for all the goodness that you have in this life? Well, let me check for a moment, because I don't want you to say that I'm assuming anything. Are there any blessed people in the house on today? But then if you've been blessed, then Christ has a command for you and I. You heard it read initially, and that command is to do not lay for yourselves treasures on the earth. This command is really, a caution. It's a caution that your motives matter to the master. See, when you follow the trajectory of this portion of Christ's Sermon on the Mount where he's speaking to his followers, if you begin at chapter 6, you realize that chapter 6 is really compelling believers to a level of righteousness that is seen in how we live our lives. So he begins by saying, give to the needy. And then with that, he says, I'm going to teach you how to pray, because if you're honest about it, in order for us to be able to give, we need to be able to pray. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then he tells us to watch what you invest in or give yourself to, because your motives matter. So materialism and greed and selfishness are products of ungratefulness. That when we practice hoarding and being stingy, that what we're really telling God, in essence, is that we are not grateful for the gifts that he has given us. Psychologists at Hope College in Michigan, along with the University of Manchester, affirm that gratitude is an experience with the awareness that one is the recipient of a good gift from a generous donor. Gratitude is not just a feeling. It's also a response and a reflection of how you see the world. That when you look over your life, and if you have any kind of recollection, if you look hard enough and diligent enough and honest enough, you'll be able to say that everything you have good in your life has been a gift from God. Even your very peace has been a gift from God. In fact, your life alone is a gift from God. And so look what he says. He says, in light of all that you've been given by God, be careful that what you do with the resources that he's blessed you with is not just benefit yourself. No, because we ought to be givers as well. We ought to give from a heart of gratitude and not self-gratification. James says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes from God. And Jesus says it this way. He was speaking to a young man who was a young man of means, a young man that had accumulated some form of wealth in his life. And he came to Jesus. So he did the right thing. He came to Jesus. He went to Jesus and he wanted to follow Jesus. And he then inquires of him what it would take to follow him. And there in Matthew 19, verse 21, Jesus says to this young man, if you would be perfect, go and sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Actually, I would declare his great possession had him. And what we're seeking to answer together from the lesson of the text is, how can I have possessions without my possessions having me? Christ says, first thing you do is watch where you are storing your possessions. R. Kent Hughes said it well when he said, if anything in this world is everything to you, it is an earthly treasure. Treasure on earth, though, depreciates. Treasure on earth gets destroyed. Treasure on earth can get stolen. Can I just tell you like I feel it? Stuff that is on earth really don't last. Just ask anybody who's ever had anything. You remember when it was brand new? Remember it still had the brand new car smell in it? It looked real good, but after a while, well, let me tell my own testimony here. I can tell my own testimony. Man, Shannon, when I moved here 10 years ago, don't hate now. Don't hate, just appreciate so one day you can participate. But did I say that out loud? I was thinking it, Greg. I didn't want to say it, but came time, man. I was pushing my Jaguar. I came in, rolled into town into Texas. I came in, and then somebody saw me and said, "Pastor, you're not a Texan unless you get cowboy boots, a belt buckle, and a pickup truck." Yeah, that's what they told me. And so guess what I did? I went out. I got myself a belt buckle. Not a big one, though. No. It just didn't flow with the flow. Got my cowboy boots, and I got me a pickup truck. I remember when I first got it. Ooh, it was clean. It was clean. It was beautiful. I remember when I first got it, but something I failed to calculate, and that is having 4 children. Yeah. I remember the first ding. I remember the first scratch. I remember it like it was yesterday. But now, I'm over that now. Why? Because things on earth depreciate. So be careful not to put all your trust in earthly things that have no lasting power to even satisfy. Because sometimes we get caught up in the treasures of earth because we're looking to use it to pacify a need that the earthly treasures cannot pacify. Only God can satisfy. So what Christ tells us then in verse 20 is lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, or where thieves can't break in and steal. Because back in the ancient times, clothing was a sign of wealth. And the wealth that they had would be eaten up by moth. Or precious metals were a sign of wealth. But after a while, it got some age to it, and rust would cake up on it. But the things you give to God never have an expiration date. I'm in text here because there's another caution here in verse 20. See, the caution in verse 20 is to understand what he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The caution is, whatever gets your attention gets you. So what do you focus the most on? When you see that all that God has given you, what do you attribute it to? If what you have doesn't point you to the goodness of God, then you're looking at what you have as your God. God's generosity must be our motive for giving. Proverbs 23:4-5 says, "Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it's gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, fly like an eagle toward heaven." That wealth is so fleeting. Talk to some people who were affected by the stock market just a few years ago. Talk to some individuals who had a mass accumulation of wealth only to see that one day you have it and the next day you don't. Just do a quick search of all the lottery winners. I know there's nobody in here that's playing the lottery, but if you do, pay your tithes. But oftentimes, that mass accumulation of wealth, if it's not used for the glory of God, quickly dwindles. So he said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In other words, work for God rather than working for money. I knew I had to bring my own witness, because see, they say one of the things when you start talking about people's personal finances, they get a little quiet, so I knew I had to bring my own witness. In fact, I wrote amen right here. I need to get my own amen right there. But I got at least one. I got at least one. Here it is. In Luke 12, Jesus was encountered by two brothers. Two brothers were squabbling. I know you don't believe this, but sometimes families fight over finances. And they're squabbling, Alice, over the inheritance, and they want to make sure it was divided equally. And Jesus then tells them in Luke 12, who made me the judge? Who made me an arbitrator between you? But then he uses them as a teachable moment to all of his followers, and he said to them, take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable. Check out the parable. He said, the land of a rich man produced plentiful. And, well, he thought to himself, what am I going to do? I got all this harvest. I'm gonna tear down my old barn. I'm going to build a new barn. I'm going to have enough to last. And I'm going to tell to my soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. But then verse 20 happens. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is it the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God? Give to what honors and pleases God. When you give with God in mind. Does this investment have kingdom impact? Everything you have and use is already marked. It has a mark on it. It says private property. Everything you have. But guess what? You're not the owner. God is. Because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and everything that dwells within it. Oh, you're looking at me like you don't believe me. Let me help you understand something. You've never seen a hearse or funeral coach pulling a U-Haul. Because really, everything we have, we're just borrowing from God. And then it goes to someone else. And here, when you go before God, God's going to hold you accountable. He's going to hold me accountable with how we used the resources he blessed us with. And so Christ gives an illustration in verse 22. He says, the eye is the lamp to the body. So if your eye is healthy, then your whole body is full of light. He said, oh, but if your eye is bad, he says, then your whole body is full of darkness. There's a caution here. The caution is when vision is blocked by blessings, blessings become burdens. If all you see is what God gives, and that gets in the way of you giving praises to the giver who gave it to you in the first place, then that which what you have will become a burden to you. That house that you've given your all for, if that house consumes your attention to the degree that you're no longer grateful to God who gave you the house, then that very house will be a burden to you. That job, that if all of a sudden you put your trust in the job, when the job is really a resource because God is the source, you remember when you prayed to God for that job and God gave you that job, and all of a sudden now you can't worship because of that job. Don't allow the blessings you receive to block your view of the one who gave you the blessings in the first place. I can talk about this. I know I only got three amens on the right side and one on the left side, but it's all right. I don't really need your amens. I got enough life lessons to understand this thing. Because, Todd, let me tell you how the thing works. But right now, pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for Keanu and I, because we're going through a very challenging season in our lives. Because you know, all our children have turned into adults. Yeah. I don't. I'm trying to learn how to do this thing. So any advice you can give me, I'd appreciate it. But I remember when they were a kid. I ain't gonna say which kid it was to protect the guilty. But I remember when he was a kid, and one of my boys became hungry. And I swerved into the fast food restaurant, and I ordered him some fries. I gave him the fries and said, "Now, don't tell your mama. It might spoil your dinner. Don't look at me like that. I'm just telling the truth. I can't stand up here and not tell you the truth. I'm telling you the truth." So I gave him the fries. But you know those good McDonald's fries? I'm not good for you, but the fragrance started to overtake the air freshener in my car. Oh, and I didn't know I was hungry until it came in the car. So then what I did was, as I was driving, because you got to understand this thing, because I'm rolling. I know some of y'all, I'm rolling. And so I reached back to grab hold of what I was smelling. Picked up a few of them and then went ahead and appreciated the delicacy. But all of a sudden, the passenger in my back seat got attitude. Come on, tell me something like, "Daddy, you took my fries." Woo, talk about a teachable moment. I pulled that car on the side of the road, and I said, as pastoral as I can, "Boy, who car you riding in? Who paid for it? Who ordered it? Who bought it?" He said, "You did." I said, "So who it belongs to?" He said, "They're my fries." I said, then I get the old school on him. I said, "Listen, boy, everything you got, I gave to you. The clothes you're wearing, I gave to you. I heard my mama coming out of me for a second there. Sure. The food you eat, I gave to you." But then it dawned on me, how many of us treat God that way? With all that God has given us, and then when we come to the business of God, we are stingy to give back to God what God has already given to us. I mean, let's be honest. We tip waiters and waitresses more than we oftentimes give to God. I wonder if Amazon is the God that we give more to than... No, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, but you got to be careful, because when you look at your life, you see how generous God has been to you. He's given you time. He's given you talent. He's given you treasure. He's given you your mind. He's given you your intellect. He's given to you over and over. And even this day, he's given it to you. Now, how are you going to use it to be grateful to him? Why? Because Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his good income. This is also vanity." So when you give, understand it's a blessing to even be able to give. Oh, but when you give, understand that giving is an expression of devotion. Mm-hmm. It's a blessing to get to give, to participate in being a blessing. All of that is a blessing. And guess what? Jesus is watching. Oh, I knew. See, I knew right around here. We'd have been like, "Oh, really? Yeah." Listen, don't think God don't know what he gave you. Jesus is watching. One time in Luke 12, Jesus is there in the temple. He's in the temple across from the temple treasury. In other words, Jesus is watching while the offering goes by. And in Luke 12, he says, as he's looking, he looks up, the text says, Luke 21, I should say, he looks up, and Jesus looks up, and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And then he saw a poor widow. And she put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." Oh, no, that's a testimony for us. Because this widow learned that she don't live on her money. She live on her God. I'm trying to help y'all understand something here. Because God is the one who gives to us and enables us the blessed benefit of giving. Why? Because giving is an act of ministry. See, the only way to get treasures into heaven is to invest them in things that are going to heaven. I hope you get this. So give to your church faithfully. Give to increase the ministry regularly. Give to fund the work for future believers, because truthfully, as we sit in this space, we are all beneficiaries of believers who've gone before us, who paved the way for us to be able to worship in the place that we worship in. Now we got the baton. We also must pave the way for future believers, our children and our children's children, that they too might have resources to be able to worship, learn of God's word, and live for God. You're in a building you didn't build. You're sitting in seats you did not purchase, and yet God has blessed us before we ever got here. He's blessed us to be here. Oh, I'm trying to help you understand something. Because when you understand that everything you have is from God, then you have really no objection to giving, because when you know God, God has inexhaustible treasure. Which means then, as long as I stay under the flow of obedience with God, God's going to always take care of what I need. I hear my grandfather, who was a local pastor when I was growing up, and he'd always say, well, if you don't have it, you don't need it. And he said, I'm being biblical, because God said, I will supply all your needs. I'm just trying to help us grow here, right? Because Christ wants us to grow. In Luke 6, he tells us, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. What Christ is saying to all of us is to understand that we are not the suppliers of our needs, because the truth is we don't even know all that we need. And so there's no reason for us to hoard it, because a closed hand can't be filled. Oh, but when you freely give to God, God will use you as an extension of ministry to be a blessing to others. I'm really done now, because last week, while we were doing ministry, and I thank God for all of you who are so generous in giving to the ministry, because we couldn't do what we do unless God would lead you to do what you've been doing. And so we're really grateful for that. And one lady, her name's Marilyn, she stepped into the pastor's office. She came to the pastor's office because she just had to tell somebody. Marilyn is not a member of the church. Marilyn is a member of the community. And as a church family, we've been feeding the community since pre-COVID. And we feed the community twice a week. And your contributions helped us to meet the needs of the community. Marilyn came in and began to talk about how when she was at her lowest point, she needed some help. There she saw a sign in the church that said, you can receive help right here. And she said, I just want to come in and thank and tell the church thank you for all the good things they have done. Saints of God, when you give, you are partnering with God to be a blessing to those who are a priority to God, and that is the people. So I just want to encourage you as you give. Because the truth is, well, we're only here for a little while. Alexander the Great, that great conqueror of the ancient times, when he was living, he gave orders to his workers and his followers that when he would die, he wanted them to bury him, or lay him in a coffin rather, where his hands would be visible. This great conqueror of the ancient world, who conquered from Greece to Northwest India, wanted his hands to be visible when he was laying in the coffin, because he wanted everyone to see that when he died, his hands were empty. You know why? Because you can't take it with you. Look what Christ says, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. It can't be done. We can't have one foot in selfishness and the other foot in servanthood. You can't serve two masters. For you either will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. There's a caution there. The caution here is that the love of money is a life choice of turning our backs on God. For Christ says in Mark 8, he says, "For what does it profit a person to gain the whole world and lose their soul?" Because when we go before God, we're going to be going before the Eternal Revenue Service. And when you go before the Eternal Revenue Service, when you invest life in Christ, you will never lose it. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So as you reflect on your behavior of giving to the things of God, who really has your heart? And I want you to hear me. Because God desires more of your heart. Because don't get this thing twisted. God doesn't need our money. In fact, God desires your heart, because when your heart is for God, then everything that you have is for him, and you use it to glorify him. But it begins when you give God your life. See, a wasted life is a life that never had a relationship with God. And Christ came that we might have life, that we might have it abundantly, that we might be joyful givers because we have faith in a God who generously gives to us. He gave you life, and he desires to give you eternal life. But you must place your faith, your trust wholly in him. That's what I want to invite you to do on this morning. That you place your trust in him. So if you would bow your heads all over the building. Father, we know that your desire is for us to grow. To grow in our dependency and trust in you. That we not look for resources to be the answer, but we look for you, the source, to be our answer. And the resources are tools that we can use to impact your kingdom's work, to be a blessing to others. Help us loosen the grip. We might be generous when we consider all that you have given for us. Because you gave your very life on the cross. You bled, you died that we might be set free from sin and be able to enjoy fellowship with you. Now help us to learn as we live for you to be generous as you have been to us. And all that we do, we're giving you glory, beginning with giving you our lives. And there's those in here that are right now wrestling with that very decision to give you their life. So I ask now that you would speak to them by your Holy Spirit, that they would make the decision right now on this day that they're going to trust you with everything, with all their hearts, with all their minds. They're going to give it all to you, knowing that you could do more with our little than we can do. So we're going to give you our lives. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.